Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. The federal government incurred the biggest monthly budget deficit in history in June. Its spending on programs to combat the coronavirus recession exploded while millions of job losses cut into tax revenues.
The Treasury Department reported that the deficit hit $864 billion last month, an amount of red ink that surpasses most annual deficits in the nation's history and is above the previous month deficit record of $738 billion in April. That amount was also tied to the trillions of dollars Congress had provided to cushion the impact of the widespread shutdown that occurred in an effort to limit the spread of the viral pandemic. The first 9 months of this budget year, which began October 1st, the deficit totaled $2.74 trillion, also a record for that period. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
President Trump is shining a spotlight on the positive actions of police officers.
At a White House East Room event, the president and top administration officials heard from Americans who have been positively impacted by law enforcement. The president said these stories need to be heard because
reckless politicians have defamed our law enforcement heroes as the enemy.
Vice President Pence said, while tragedies happen, most officers are the best people in this country.
Some are talking about defunding the police under this president and this administration. We're going to defend the police.
Greg Clugston, Washington.
California Governor Gavin Newsom's extended the closure of gyms, churches, and hair salons as coronavirus cases keep rising. Newsom says they're closing some indoor activities in an attempt to stop the spread of COVID-19.
Restaurants, wineries, tasting rooms, movie theaters, family entertainment centers, zoos and museums, card rooms, and the shuttering of all bars. This is in every county in the state of California.
California confirmed 8,358 new coronavirus cases on Sunday. On Wall Street, the Dow by 10 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Be the next success story.
In these challenging times, what is really happening? Is there a force behind it all? If you believe in the freedoms that founded America, if you're looking for answers, go to ProfitToAmerica.com. That's ProfitToAmerica.com. And download the free book, A Fresh Wind. Is God using this pandemic to bring us back to our roots? Go to ProfitToAmerica.com. That's ProfitToAmerica.com.
Do you or a member of your family suffer from chronic pain? Would you like to make the pain go away? Hey, Kevin Wall here. Then you need to check out the Pain Injury Brain Center of America, now open in Las Vegas. At PIPCOA, they treat your chronic pain without addictive drugs and with non-invasive pain-free therapy. I suffered from chronic pain due to an impingement of my rotator cuff. I tried cortisone shots, painful physical therapy, nothing worked. Then a friend suggested I contact PIPCOA, and after just 6-hour-long treatments, the pain went away. In fact, I canceled my scheduled surgery. And after a brief hiatus due to the coronavirus, PIPCOA is back accepting appointments. Whether your pain comes from headaches, a disc injury, broken bones, hip or knee injury, neuropathy, even PTSD, regardless of the source of your pain, PIPCOA can make the pain go away. You don't have to live with the chronic pain. Make the pain go away. Call PIPCOA at 702-546-8767. That number again, 702-546-8767.
It's 5:04. This is a KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. Las Vegas Sands Palazzo Hotel Tower is no longer taking reservations during the weekdays. Company officials say the property will keep most public areas open, including most restaurants, the casino, the Grand Canal shops, and its parking garage. The change is reportedly in response to travel demand for the summer. Both the Venetian and Palazzo will take suite reservations for the weekends, with weekday reservations still available at the Venetian's Hotel Tower. Nevada's fund for paying unemployment claims will be out of money in less than 7 weeks. State officials say the unemployment trust fund has been depleted by about 86% since March, when Governor Sisolak shut down all non-essential businesses, including all casinos. It took the state almost 7 years to rebuild the fund after the last recession, and will take about 6 months to empty it this time around. Even if the fund runs dry, the unemployment will still be paid their benefits, the unemployed will, but experts say the long-term impact will be felt by employers who probably will face higher payroll taxes. The number of confirmed cases of coronavirus statewide stands at 27,683, 593 deaths.
KCQ On Time Traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
As we take a look at the traffic cams right now, we're getting some heavy volumes in a couple of areas. 15 north at Spring Mountain, 215 west at Green Valley. You'll tap the brakes as you work your way through there. And those lane restrictions, slowing things down, that's eastern at the 215 interchange.
Washington, D.C., I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out. Step by step, a lot of evil, a lot of bad people, a lot of bad people, a lot of fake media. Look at them, a lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out! Number three! Time is running out! Number four!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
So good to have you with us. It is Monday, hour number three, and they are back at it after closing down the special session over the weekend because of the coronavirus. They are back working, and State Senator Scott Hammond, a regular Monday feature on this program, is joining us. He's from Nevada District 18. And Scott, first of all, explain what happened over the weekend and why you had to put the brakes on the special session, at least for a day or so.
Great. First of all, let me apologize, Kevin. It's good to be on the show again, but I apologize for not being on there at the right time. We just we're on the floor of the session of the Senate, trying to finish up this session today. Not the session, the just our work for the day. But we did have we discovered one member of the Assembly had tested positive for the COVID. Person was asymptomatic. About out of abundance of caution, they just they kind of shut down that side. We finished our business. On Saturday, we did a lot of work and then took the day off on Sunday to kind of get everything put back together. And then we met today. Today, just in the Senate side, we passed out two bills out of the Committee of the Whole. There's amendments being worked up on one of those bills, and then we'll have those bills probably presented to the Senate floor and then pass them out so we can send them over to the Assembly.
And what do they deal with? Do they deal with the budget or taxes or anything?
I guess one of them is connected to the budget. It's the CIP, the projects, work projects across the state that some of them are being scaled back, some of them being canceled one way or another, like the engineering building at UNLV will not happen for a while. And so that will directly affect the budget. So we're saving money in those areas. The other bill was dealing with the Millennium Scholarship, giving waivers to some of the students who were affected, you know, for no fault of their own. So giving some of the discretion to the regents to grant waivers, but then we had to amend it to make sure that we knew exactly when that waiver would be cut off and nobody could take advantage of it after that. So we kind of, those are the two bills that were passed out today. We're still looking at two more bills on our side that need to be passed over to the Assembly. They're working on three bills, I believe. One bill, not sure if it's going to get through. It's a bill that I got a lot of calls from a lot of principals and teachers in the Clark County School District. There are two sources of income that the school sites themselves, the carryover money, and then also any kind of money. So, for example, if a school is asked to hire somebody but can't find a science teacher, for example, Would they hire a long-term sub? There's a cost savings. The schools, ever since we passed that bill in 2015, were allowed to then keep that money and use it and carry it over and be prudent with the money and then find out the uses for it. So they've been very, very fiscally responsible at the school sites. And there was a bill that wanted to sweep all that money in and then give it to the school districts for their discretion. I highly advised against it, and I know a lot of the members in the assembly on both sides of the aisle were very skeptical of it. I'm not sure if that bill is going to get out. It will certainly have a very tough time in the state senate if it gets over there.
Again, Scott Hammond joining us, State Senator, District 18. Is the working number, the shortfall, still $1.2 billion, or have we shaved some off of that?
That's the working number that we're going off of. But what we're doing is we're trying to find money that is actually located in certain places that, or you know, we're kind of working and solving some of the issues. I think that the governor, had he included the legislature in this process a little earlier, we probably could have helped him tremendously, because I think we're in the next couple of days, you're going to see some suggestions coming out. And I know a lot of Republicans have been working on it, but they've been working in conjunction with a lot of Democrats on the other side of the aisle on this. I think we're going to be able to find some money that will save some of the items that were being scheduled to be cut. And we're going to do this all without raising revenue. I mean, that's the whole goal, is to find out where some of the money is and make sure that we allocate it in the correct ways and minimize the effect that it'll have on some of the services, and do it without raising any revenue. Because I hear the people. And when I say the people, I mean I hear from nonpartisans, Republicans, Democrats, everybody alike. It's just not the time to raise taxes on folks. And when I say folks, I mean businesses as well, because that tax is always pushed over to the consumer. They all have to pay the tax. So right now, it just isn't the time for it. We're going to try and live within our means. We'll find some way to mitigate the effects on some of these services. But I think together we're going to get this thing done. I just wish the governor had called us in before the 2020 budget was over with, so we could have helped out in that area too. That probably would have been to his credit, but that didn't happen.
Again, Scott Hammond joining us, State Senator, Nevada District 18. And the question everybody's asking me, and I'm sure they're asking you, what about reopening schools? We had the plan last Thursday. They worked till 11:20 at night before approving the Clark County School District. And I guess my question to you is, what do you think's going to happen? The Clark County School District voted out a plan, but with caveats all over it, nobody seems to know what's going to happen. What's the latest that you're hearing from the legislature?
You know, we're not really taking that up. We're allowing the school district to come up with a plan. And, of course, the governor's he's got control over that because he's the one who's talking about what phase we're in. So we're not talking about that too much. I personally know that it's really hard to open up your economy when you're talking about having parents are going to have to deal with the possibility of having students at home 3 days a week. And then you're talking about child care. So their kids are going to be exposed somewhere, either in school or child care or, some capacity. I think that, that's the troubling part, is that we're still going to have to deal with that. We haven't really talked much about school opening, other than, the chit-chat between the, legislators. That's about it.
Okay, let me just ask you, though. The governor shut down bars across the state, or at least in seven different counties. Where are we on that? And was that the right thing for the governor to do? 79% of bars and restaurants were in compliance, yet he chose to punish everybody by closing everybody down. Can you talk a little bit about where you are on that? And did the governor make the right or the wrong move?
Well, Kevin, I'm glad you brought that up, because I know a lot of people are out there discussing these things. Quite frankly, I mean, if you're talking about what should the governor do and not do when it comes to these personal freedoms, it's hard for me to really get behind somebody who says we're going to, first of all, mandate the wearing of masks. I've been on the receiving end, no matter what I do, it just seems like someone's going to rail on me, right? If I don't wear a mask, I get railed on. Even though I might be prudent in my approach on where and when to use a mask, if I do wear a mask or I'm outside wearing a mask for some reason, I get yelled at because now I'm projecting my virtue to everybody. I mean, it is a no-win situation. Real leadership Real leadership is the kind of person who can say, please wear a mask, and get somebody to really feel the need to wear a mask without mandating it. And that's my opinion. That's the opinion according to Scott Hammond. I really feel like there's a lack of leadership. And you know what? We're individuals. We make decisions. We make, you know, we can make up our mind on you know, our own safety, for example. I know a lot of people who said, you know what? I'm just going to self-isolate. I'm going to stay away from people as often as I can. Thank you. Kudos to you. You're actually taking your own health in your own hands. Shutting down the bars, you know, these kinds of measures I don't think are prudent, but that's kind of the go-to the governor's had. He's had that since the beginning, and it just seems like he's caught that fever from California, because whatever happens in California, a couple days later, that's what happens here. Bar owners, they're doing a great job. Some of them are doing a really good job, and others weren't doing a good job. You know, and as a patron, I feel like, if I'm looking at something and looking into a business, looking into a bar, and I don't think that they are practicing safe measures that will protect my health, I probably will avoid it. I'll go somewhere else. The market takes care of itself.
I just don't understand how the governor could punish 100% of the establishments when it's only a handful that are not compliant. To me, it makes no sense.
Right, and I'm not really too happy about the idea of them going in and fining people and fining establishments, not only bars, but we're talking about all the establishments out there, the businesses. You know, I think that I've heard certain things, but I don't know, I can't confirm them yet. But I can't believe that the governor is saying to these businesses, you're the ones who have to police whether or not somebody comes into your business with a mask. Even if that person has a mask and goes to the back of the store, takes it off, gets found out by OSHA, now all of a sudden you're in a world of hurt because now they're going to start fining you and potentially taking away your business license. This is the slippery slope we're in, because that is not the way to govern.
Give me the game plan. I know that when we talked last week, there was talk that there were going to be essentially multiple special sessions, one dealing with Dieter and social justice and a couple of other things, but that we were going to end up having multiple special sessions. Is that still the game plan as you know it today?
As I know it today, yes. But, you know, I told you before, I think I even came up here, this special session for the budget lasts more than a week. That can't be good. It doesn't look good. It tells you that things weren't really buttoned down before we got up here. And that's kind of what we're encountering. You know, we finally got to look at what the governor's plan was. We finally were able to have some input. We showed where we can actually have some savings. We can actually find, we're finding a lot of things out, but it's taking us more time. So I just don't really, you know, personally, I think that we're still going to have some sessions, but that is in jeopardy, because I can't believe that the governor can keep us up here too much longer. It doesn't look good, you know, and why open that Pandora's box when it comes to a lot of this policy stuff that probably could wait until the regular session. So right now there is no definitive word on whether or not we're staying up here to another second session or a third, even a possible third session. What I do know is we're addressing the budget, and I know we need to address Dieter. So, the possibility of for sure a second session dealing with Dieter, that's still probably on the table, unless the assembly has something that they're going to introduce in the next little bit. But I don't think that this session was opened up with the intent to fix Dieter. So hopefully we do get to that, because there's a lot of people out there who need something to come from Dieter.
Hey, Scott, always good. Please be safe up there. Again, with an outbreak, one member that tested positive over the weekend. Be safe up there, and be safe on your return. Hopefully we'll get you guys back real soon.
It was always a pleasure to be on the radio with you. Thanks, Kevin. Take care.
Scott Hammond joining us, the state senator, District 18. We're going to take a quick break. We'll connect with Jared Fisher, the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, and a guy that ran for governor. He might have been the guy making these decisions instead of Scott, Steve Sisolak. Yeah, we'll talk about that and more coming up. I'm Kevin Wall. So good to have you with us. It is Monday. It is the beginning of a brand new week on AM 670 KMZQ.
That affect you.
But as we address the how, we also have to know that we're addressing the why, and I think that's going to be critical in order for us to turn the page.
AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Less is more. This is true of the 2020 Range Rover Evoque. With dramatic styling and unparalleled capability, the Range Rover Evoque offers much more than you would expect from a compact SUV. And with 0% interest currently available for up to 72 months on approved credit, it's never been a better value. Come see for yourself today at Jaguar Land Rover Las Vegas, 6425 Roy Horn Way, or visit us online at jlrlv.com.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart. But our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
Hi, it's Marie Mortera from News 3. Jimmy Chagra was an infamous Vegas high roller, and
your name has been linked to Judge Wood assassination.
I'm not going to make any comments.
His children are now speaking out in Daughter of a Kingpin tonight on News 3, live at 11.
This is Dwayne Johnson, and if you've been missing sports, we've got you covered on TV's most electrifying competition series, The Titan Games. I assembled an amazing group of incredible athletes with extraordinary stories. Doctors, teachers, veterans. Here's a twist. They're going to compete against the best of the best, from the Olympics to the UFC to the NFL. The Titan Games, Mondays on NBC.
Followed by News 3 Live at 11 with Jim Snyder and Marie Mortera. A never-before-seen look at how COVID-19 impacted over 100,000 jobs and brought Las Vegas tourism to a staggering halt. Hear from Valley neighbors ready for a big comeback when the lights went out. July 15th at 7, only on News 3.
At Castle Insurance Group, their mission is to make life easier for you and your business. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Instead of you taking the time to hunt down the best prices for your homeowners, auto, and business insurance, the pros at Castle Insurance Group do all the hard work for you, and it won't cost you a penny more. The folks at Castle Insurance Group don't represent just one insurance carrier. They can look for the lowest prices and best coverage from a host of carriers. Name brands like Progressive, Nationwide, Travelers, Safeco, Dairyland, and many more. At Castle Insurance Group, they make buying insurance easy. Just a 10-minute phone call with a Castle Insurance Group representative, and you can get the lowest rates and the best coverage. You kick back and relax, and they do all the heavy lifting. Call my friends at Castle Insurance Group, 702-714-1060. Remember, the quote is absolutely free. That's 702-714-1060. One more time, 702-714-1060. That's Castle Insurance Group.
What the Market Protection Action Plan does is make sure that we have what we call the core and explore philosophy built in your plan.
Coach Pete of Capital Financial on proper risk protection in the midst of COVID-19. Grow your money, build protection, and create lifetime income in retirement with Coach Pete and the team. Call for a no-cost consultation and for the next 10 free of charge Coach Pete's 7 Financial Blind Spots box set. We're helping our neighbors. 888-919-3119, 888-919-3119, or text Coach to 21000, Coach to 21000.
At Finley Acura in the Valley Auto Mall, they are committed to helping the Las Vegas community in this trying time. If you need any vehicle repair on any model, they are an essential repair facility and got you covered. They have oil changes starting at $19.95, free smogs for life. And if you mention this ad, they'll take 15% off the service cost. Plus, buy any new vehicle, and they have no payments for 90 days. Finley Acura in the Valley Auto Mall, or online at FinleyAcura.com. Vegas strong.
Big name guests, the news of the day, mixed in with a diversity of opinions. Live and local with Kevin Wall, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
And this hour brought to you by attorney Craig Mueller of Mueller & Associates. When you need an attorney, you need someone who shares your conservative values. Call Craig Mueller at Mueller & Associates, 702-887-1731. That's 702-887-1731. We are honored to have a guy that has been on the show many, many times. He is the former candidate for governor. If the voters had done the right thing, they might have had Jared Fisher making the decisions about this pandemic and shutting down businesses and closing the bars and all of that. He is Jared Fisher, the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures. He's ridden a bicycle across 17 counties in our state, and he joins us. Jared, where are you today? You're traveling, aren't you?
Yeah, Kevin, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I'm somewhere in Colorado. I think in Montrose, Colorado right now.
Are you riding, or are you riding in, in an SUV?
I'm in a camper with my family, actually, but I'm headed to work out here. I've got some work up in Crested Butte, so. But I'm happy to be escaping the heat right now.
I don't blame you. What's the weather like there in Colorado?
It's pretty nice. It's a little warmer than normal up here, though. So it's that heat wave's hitting all over.
It's the heat wave, man. And by the way, the heat wave there is not like the heat wave here, like 112 degrees. I want to ask you, because a lot of people are really concerned about kids going back to school. The Clark County School District last Thursday voted kind of a hybrid plan. First of all, do you like this idea of 2 days in a brick-and-mortar school, butts in the seats, and then 3 days at home, maybe online?
No, actually, I really do not like that plan at all, and I'm glad you asked. As you probably know, I've spoken before, my mother is actually a school teacher in Clark County. She's a music teacher, as well as I got many, many friends, and I've actually been discussing with them this past week, over the past couple weeks, you know, their thoughts on this whole idea. And, I mean, I'm not a proponent for it just because I think we're going to run into the same situations, having to deal with, daycare. We're going to have to deal with, these parents that may not have that ability to homeschool their kids and to watch over them being online. There's a lot of baggage that goes along with this, and it's long-term baggage that we're going to just have to deal with later on. You know, and of course this all ties back to how we're dealing with the coronavirus within our state. So, I don't know where we want to go with this, but, that's kind of what we're looking at. So, I mean,
but the bottom line for you is, you do or don't think the kids should be back in brick and mortar schools?
No, I do think they should be back in brick and mortar schools. I don't think that they should be splitting it up though. I think we're going to run into the same problems no matter how you look at it. It's basically, it's just a can of worms when we're talking about parents, working parents, that are no longer going to have their kids in the right seats. Their seats are now going to be couches at home, unsupervised. And I can tell you right now, I have not yet talked to a school teacher in Clark County that has not expressed their concern about having those kids back in their classroom. And, you know, and not just that, but even the 2 days that they're going to be back in the classroom, they're going to be required to wear masks. I mean, the students need to see their teachers speak. There's a lot of human characteristics that go with teaching. It's not something that you can just pick up and deal all online. There's a lot of responsibility that goes with that, and I'm not totally sure that Clark County has prepared themselves to do this. You know, when we came into this coronavirus, we were one of the worst prepared states in the nation. It's no wonder that we're ranked amongst the bottom of the bucket for education. It's because our administration at the high levels don't have plans for situations like this. We could do homeschooling. Have we done it properly? Have we even had something in place prior to this coronavirus? So, I mean, the problem goes deep, Kevin. It's going to, again, we're robbing Peter to pay Paul at this point by putting kids in classrooms 2 days. Here's the other thing to consider. My little girl, Sequoia, which you've met in your studio there.
Yeah, I'm looking at her picture right now.
Okay, I'll
let her know. Her picture of me. Let her know.
I'll let her know. You know, she can't sit still in a seat. She's 8 years old right now.
She's fidgeting.
She's not going to sit still in a classroom all day long and not be able to get up and walk around and have recess and so forth. And that's what she's going to be asked to do. I can't see that being a positive situation. And she's already expressed to me, she's asked me, she said, Dad, how am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to not go out and have lunch or go out and have a social experience with kids? Kids don't go to school just for education, but they go to there for the social aspect. And when